Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games. Specters, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Sam, as usual. And Sam, we're taking a break this week from Liara stuff. We're going on a little trip.
Yes, sweet Jesus, says everyone who is not obsessed with Liara. They're like, oh my God, finally, I've been waiting.
Because so many people don't like Liara. I mean,
well, I've seen the online discourse a lot that it's like, okay, you know, she is the second main character enough. We get it. Stop force feeding us Liara. But as a lore cast, we are going to cover the lore.
We have to talk about what's there, right? And yes. There happens to be a place that's nearby where you and I currently are that we're talking about today.
One of the closest locations, actually, in Mass Effect. We're talking about Mars. So, yeah, we're taking a quick break from Liara lore, at least Liara-specific lore, to talk more about the Prothean ruins. Mars seemed like the perfect fit, given that this is also where we find Liara in Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, okay, so kick us off. Where do we start? And first of all, why is Mars so important for Mass Effect lore? And how is it different from, like, real-life Mars?
Those are two great questions, and we're going to address those in two separate parts. The first one, so many reasons, right? There are so many reasons why Mars is integral to Mass Effect in the lore. But the biggest one is really simple to explain. Without humanity's discovery on Mars, we would not have Mass Effect. Like, humans would never have met the Milky Way races, and they would have just gotten wiped out by the Reapers, I suppose. It wouldn't have been a fun game, really.
It would have been a bunch of people just wandering around Mars, not finding anything.
Yeah, they were. I mean, we already had Mars rovers, right? But, you know, as in, this is... We could not have had Mass Effect, the story of the game, but we also could not have had the technology of Mass Effect physics,
right?
Harnessing Mass Effect physics. So let's break it down from actual texts within the games, right? Here's an entry from the Codex. It says that after 20 years of manned research outposts and nearly a century of robotic exploration, the European Space Agency's Lowell City became the first permanent settlement on Mars in 2103. Within a decade, the United States and China had founded permanent settlements as well.
This is pretty cool. Like, this, like, first of all, that's not that far in the future. I mean, sure, it's 80 years, no. But like 79 years. But that is within somebody's lifetime today.
Man, you know what's crazy? When I saw 2103, my brain automatically thought, oh, that's 100 years in the future.
Yeah, it's not. No, it's
not.
It's absolutely not. In fact, somebody listening to the show might still be alive in 2103. I probably won't, but...
I probably won't.
Yeah, but somebody might. Also, it's kind of cool that the Europeans are the first ones who land, but then, of course, the United States and China, real quick afterwards, within a decade, are like, we've got claim on this location. You guys can do that. We can do it, too. we've got claims here.
Right. You know, there's so many people who listen to Lorecast and have told me that they would love to hear more about pre-space, like pre-FTL lore, basically, of humanity and what was going on Earth at the time. And I feel like this is a good indication that there was certainly a space race at the time.
Yeah.
The different nations and nation states.
Right, right. So not too, in those senses of the way the politics work and things like that, another 79 years in the future, it's not too different than it is now in that.
Right. And it's kind of like Mass Effect lore doesn't really split off from the way that actual history goes until like this big discovery on Mars. I mean, of course they're inferring, and basically analyzing where they think it would go in the near future, but it's not like too outlandish. It gets outlandish and more sci-fi on Mars, and that's why we're talking about this here. But the other interesting thing about the timeline is, by the time this Lowell City is founded, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, I don't think it's ever pronounced in the game, unless maybe if you listen to the Codex, but I read it. So by the time that's founded, humanity has already been living on Mars in manned research outposts for 20 years. So humanity settled on Mars no later than 2083. And that means we were there with rovers for quite a while, because we landed on Mars and what with rovers in what, the 80s?
I don't know if it was that long.
Or was it the 90s?
Yeah, it was a little bit more recent than that. But but it hasn't been that long. And to project that we would have humans on Mars by 2083 seems absolutely reasonable. It seems like if different nations currently today made that a priority, it could definitely happen by 2083.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The other interesting thing here is, I guess we can talk about it a little bit later. But the other interesting thing here is about Gagarin Station. And you might recognize that from the lore. It's called Jump Zero for a reason. Well, it was founded, if I'm remembering correctly off the top of my head, that it was founded shortly before this big discovery is found on Mars, and then it's rendered useless. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Here is where Mass Effect mixes with real history, that we can go from this very near future thing where the European Space Agency is settling people on Mars, United States and China found settlements right afterward, indicating there's this big space race going on. And I'm just imagining this part, but it being fueled by private space ventures and things like that. And now we're seeing that like Boeing Starliner, right? That's supposed to go up any day now with the first, Boeing capsule, not the Atlas V, or maybe it is actually using the Atlas V rocket, but SpaceX has also been using their own. What is it? The Falcon
rocket? I don't know.
I forget the name of it.
Yeah. But
you see what I'm saying, that the privatization of space industry has revamped it now. So it's really cool seeing these two things kind of collide.
Yeah. Another fun fact, SpaceX owns over 50% of the satellites that are currently around Earth. Did you realize that? They've put up...
I did not know it was that high.
More than half of the... Like, they doubled. They more than doubled the existing satellites. That's insane. Like, that's
a lot of space debris.
It's a lot of space debris, but it also shows what a privatization of something like this can do. I mean, it took decades to get the first set of satellites out there, and then SpaceX has only been in operation for a very smaller fraction of the time since like the 1950s and 60s when we first started putting satellites up. So imagine what that could do in relation to something like this, given out, this many more decades into the future.
Can you imagine, the embarrassment for China and the United States if the European Space Agency beat them in settling
right.
on Mars?
Right, right. Yeah, usually you would assume it was China or the U.S. or even India seems pretty active from what I've seen in space stuff lately.
Everyone who watches For All Mankind is like, oh my God, I knew this was going to happen. Yeah, anyway, it's a great show. But the next part of the... lore tells us that there was kind of a Bermuda Triangle situation going on Mars, where the humans who are walking around on the surface, as well as the satellites, were detecting these, you know, intermittent mass concentrations and magnetic fields that were shifting. And in 2148, there were these prospectors working near the DeSoto crater. I think that's how you say it. Yeah. DeSoto crater. And they found an underground complex, a Prothean observation post. And so this, there was this odd phenomena that they were examining. Basically, they were witnessing mass effect physics in mm-hmm. front of them, and they had never seen it before. Humans had never seen this before at all, and they were witnessing the discharge of a mass effect core that was, even though it was Prothean and it had been left alone for 50,000 years, it was kind of like trying to start, like a lawnmower engine trying to start. But it was still somewhat functional, right? And so this is a crazy, crazy discovery that will change humanity forever after that.
Yeah, and that seems... Can you imagine being a scientist on a mission on Mars? You've now been living there for decades. Maybe you even were born and raised on Mars, and you haven't come across anything like this at all. Everybody is 100% sure that they've pretty well explored the planet. There's really nothing else other than us here because it's a barren planet. And then all of a sudden you find these weird readings and the remnants of an observation post, something designed by an intelligent race of some sort. Can you imagine? Like, I'm sure people were like, that's not real. Fake news. Like, that's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. There must have been, you know, a very huge schism between, you know, who was willing to accept it and who wasn't. But what I found interesting here is that, of course, there's aliens because it's Mass Effect. But it's also super important and interesting is to the how. You know, we know from other lore in the game that what humanity actually found there was refined element zero. And this specifically is key to creating Mass Effect fields. And that is what enabled this faster than light travel. But they also found so much more than that too. You know, Mass Effect physics is the basis for so many Mass Effect themed technologies. The guns, which we talked about, the biotics we talked about, we could go on and on. So what they really found here was the basis of what makes Mass Effect, Mass Effect.
Yeah. Yeah. Element Zero is very interesting because it's similar to what people are looking for like a catalyst for cold fusion. This has been talked about for decades now, where the reason why we can't do fusion at room temperature is because we don't actually have an element that will do what it needs to do at room temperature and pressure. And Element Zero sounds like it's something like that. Like it's a certain version of an element that we may not even know of yet, that can somehow do the things that physics needs it to do. I'm not a scientist on this, but it seems very interesting, very similar to that sort of thing.
Yeah, like unobtainium or osmanium or magicite.
right. Yeah.
It's the fictional element that solves all our problems.
Right. But now, but there is some real speculation in scientific circles that there might be something that actually does exist that we just haven't come across yet, or we haven't been able to stabilize at room temperature, at room pressure. But if we had the means to do so and we could generate it, then it could create something like cold fusion, which would be a incredible power source that we could do all sorts of crazy things with, similar to Element Zero.
It also say, you know, like save a lot of people's lives in pointless resource wars, you know, that would happen. But, you know, that's a discussion for another day. But, you know, you also asked how Mass Effect, how Mars is different in real world than in Mass Effect. And for one, you know, we don't have anyone living there yet. But in Mass Effect, apparently the total population is about 3.4 million people Mars.
As of the events of the game?
I think that's as of Mass Effect 3.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so what's interesting is also this Planet Card's description of Mars's stats, like gravity. I was interested in this because, you know, I love Planet Cards, and I rarely, I normally gloss over the stats because they're kind of dry. But now with Mars, we have like a real world example to compare it to. And what I found is that the stats on the Mass Effect planet card are almost entirely identical to what we know about Mars in real life.
Cool.
You know, for example, Mass Effect says Mars' surface gravity is 38% of Earth's. This is true. Mass Effect says one Martian day is 24.6 hours. I looked it up. NASA says it. One Martian day is 1 day, 37 minutes, which is the same. You know, the radius in Mass Effect looks a little bit off. I'm not sure how they calculated that. But interestingly, the only stat that is way off is surface temperature. Hmm. Mass Effect says it is much colder on the surface of Mars than it really is. I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
I don't know why they've chosen to differ there for some reason. Maybe there's something like I'm missing here.
If you're going
to
grab all the stats and use basically the same stats that work in reality, why change that one?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something here, something about comparing surface temperatures or some kind of terminology I'm missing. But
average surface temperature in certain locations or during certain seasons or things like that, because
Mars very well known for its beautiful seasons. Winters.
Yeah, but it still has a what's it called? Like the axis is tilted.
Axis.
So if you were to actually have a city on a specific location, there would be times of the year around the sun, which takes longer than Earth to get around, where the temperature would be warmer or colder, simply not because of like weather the way we think of weather so much as you're just closer to the sun or further from the sun because of the axis.
It's interesting you bring that up because that is where one of the Prothean observation posts and the archives, that's where it's found on Mars's South Pole, basically. Hmm. And I wonder how that may have facilitated the Protheans building it there. Maybe that gave them like an easier shot getting out of orbit to get to Earth to observe humans. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's another interesting point because it wouldn't point toward Earth. At any point, you would like something closer to its equator because everything in the solar system is basically on the same plane, except for a few actual things that go slightly off. All the planets are a little bit off center, but in general, if you were near the equator, you would then at certain times of the day be pointing more towards Earth. But if you're at the South Pole, then you're almost never pointing at Earth, I would assume.
It's all about the pyramids, man.
Yeah.
That's what it is. They wanted to align themselves with the pyramids. But, you know, we also haven't found many usable resources there yet. Yet being the key word. Apparently, we have only found traces of metals like lithium, cobalt, nickel, zinc, and other unfamiliar ones to me, anyway. But I saw that according to a research book titled Mars, published in the University of Arizona Press, the author argues that there's a very likely, possibly concentrated sources of these ores that would make mining more practical. But that's, of course, different from Mass Effect, right? Because this is where we find the most important element,
right,
element
right.
zero.
Yeah, we don't need those other elements when you have element zero, because, yes, totally makes sense.
Yeah, I don't need cobalt, thanks. Right. Lithium, no right. thanks.
Yeah.
And also, did you know that there's no evidence of illegal drug use on Mars?
Wait, but this is like a stat that they have about the 3.4 million people?
No, this is a stat from yours truly.
Okay.
There is no evidence of illegal drug use on Mars in real life.
Oh, right. Because the population is zero.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And so we don't have any evidence of illegal drug use on Mars, but that is different from Mass Effect.
Okay, that makes
there
sense.
There is evidence of illegal drug use.
I thought you were like, somehow the Martian population doesn't use illegal drugs. Like, none of them. I was going to be like, what? In Mass Effect? What?
Yeah, all of a sudden, we're not the Mass Effect Lorecast. We're just the Coast to Coast AM.
Yeah.
Welcome. I'm not ragging on that show, by the way. It's highly entertaining.
Yeah. Yes. We only podcast in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Anyway, there is illegal drug use on Mars in Mass Effect lore. We know this because in the lore, it says red sand was originally created by criminal triads on Mars from refined Ezo. And it takes its name likely from the planet, the red sand.
The red sand of Mars, yeah, that makes sense.
And that's probably where they found the Ezo to make this, right? So as Ezo is also used to create medicines, the lore says red sand's creation may have been a fortunate lab mistake. Now that's according to a codex entry.
Fortunate lab mistake.
Fortunate, quote unquote fortunate.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting to me that this whole lore also about one of the most precious commodities for the galaxy's seediest traders is also tied back to humanity specifically and Mars and Ezo. So it's all kind of like branching out from the same catalyst, pun intended, on Mars.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it's a focal point for a lot of different things. I mean, clearly Ezo is, but even more than you would assume, right? It's not just Mass Effect travel and biotics. It's also drugs and all sorts of other stuff.
Drugs, yes. It's also, you know, I never thought I'd make the connection here, but Paul Grayson, from the lore, Paul Grayson can blame the Mars explorers for his current crippling red sand addiction. You can blame them for that.
Okay. I mean, all right.
That's canon.
That's canon. There you go. All right. Well, that was the first half about Mars. We've got more to talk about, though, but we have a planet card and some patrons to thank. So let's go take a quick mid break and we'll be right back.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign and this
Lorecast
is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. A huge shout out to all of our patrons. Thank you to all 63 of our current patrons. And thank you especially to our Shepherd tier patrons who get shout outs every week. Ed Boy, Kira C, Lieutenant Tosino, and William, thank you so much for your support. And if you are getting through your workday or your commute or your workout, or I don't know, maybe you've got a science project you're doing at home because you're a young person who might still be around in, you know, 2103, then head over. Well, I guess if you're a young person, you probably don't want to be subscribing to our Patreon because you probably don't have the means to do so. Ask your parents first. Head over to patreon.com/MassEffectLorecast. Check out all the different tiers. You can get ad-free episodes. You can get t-shirts and stickers, all sorts of fun stuff. And if you would like to help us out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can leave a 5-star rating on Spotify or whatever other platforms you listen to this on, or you can share it with your friends. All of that stuff is absolutely super helpful and keeps us going. So thank you so much for all of your support. All right, let's get to the planet card. We got a planet card to talk about.
Yes, we do.
This is like planet card, the episode Mars with planet card. This is the second time we've done like planet card inside a planet card.
Planet Cardception. It is the Matryoshka dolls. Is that what they're called? The Russian dolls with the one. Anyway, it's all planet cards.
Yeah.
So we have this planet named Silva. It's named for Matois. I think it's Mateos. Or it's either Mateus or Matois. Anyway,
yeah,
it's certainly Brazilian Portuguese. So if we have any people familiar with Portuguese phonetics, they can tell us.
M-A-T-E-U-S. How do you pronounce that?
Yeah. Mateus, maybe. So named for Mateus Silva, leader of the prospector team that unearthed the Prothean archives on Mars. This ice giant was once home to a large recovery operation for helium-3. In its heyday, the helium-3 flowed freely here to fuel merchant ships commuting from Binning to Arcturus. All infrastructure on Silva has been destroyed, along with the colony on Oliveira, its moon. So that is a description from Mass Effect 3. That's, you know, all the infrastructure was destroyed by the Reapers. So, but yeah, I found this interesting because here's another bit, a little bit of lore that we get about Mars from a planet card that you could totally easily gloss over. And now we know that Mateus Silva was the leader of that prospector team that found the Prothean archives.
Mm-hmm. And now has a place named after them. That's pretty cool. Yes. Yeah.
So that's cool. Oh, and a fun fact, this is in addition to the planet card. That year, 2103, that Lowell City was founded, it's the same year that Star Trek says its first permanent Martian colonies were founded.
Huh. And I wonder if that's a coincidence. Usually coincidences are not coincidences. Like somebody was a Star Trek fan and they're like, that sounds like a good year. Let's use it.
Yeah. Let's just throw in this little reference. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Thanks for the planet card. Let's move on with the rest of the discussion. Here we go.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, so Ezo is always a fun thing to talk about, but I want to know more about these ruins. Like, what do we know about the Prothean ruins on Mars?
Yeah, so the Prothean ruins are discovered on Mars around 2148, but just before then, like I had said, humanity sets up Gagarin Station, aka Jump Zero. It was at the very edge of the solar system, Jump Zero was. Likely, you know, incredibly hard to build. I cannot imagine all of the different research that went into building that. And this was to research faster than light travel, and then later serve as this launch point for humanity to go into and colonize the rest of the galaxy, right? But then the Prothean ruins are discovered on Mars, and we quickly learn how to harness FTL travel without those necessary conditions. And we also learn about mass effect fields. So Jump Zero just becomes like somewhat of a joke.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
And kind of the backwater.
Oh my God. That would be like you spend years training a horse, and then all of a sudden they're like, here's a car. And you're like,
yeah,
all right. You're like, crap. I mean, this is the edge of the solar system. It is no small feat or small amount of time to send materials and people out there to create that. Like,
yeah, it would be like someone working on extremely cutting edge wind power technology, right? That they're like, this windmill can power 8 cities. And I've been working on this for 20 years. And then someone is like, well, I just discovered and how to harness cold fusion. So,
right. Yeah. Good luck with that. Here, let me just plug it in for you. Boop. City's powered.
Completely disrupted. My condolences to those who worked on Gagarin station. You know, your time was very much appreciated.
Hopefully they got paid well.
Probably big layoffs after that.
I would imagine. Yeah.
So you were talking about how Earth may have reacted to this news that they weren't alone.
Yeah. Right. How does that go over? I know we've discussed this a little bit before, but remind me.
So they were apparently, quote, electrified by this news. That's according to the Codex, which says humanity was unequivocally not alone. While courts battled over who owned the ruins, of course, right? Mm-hmm. The international scientific community coordinated a massive effort to access, translate, and interpret the data banks recovered from this facility.
So they just went to work. I mean, the most we know is that, like, oh, there's big news. Everybody jumps on it. There wasn't too much debate about it. Other than
I can't remember where in the lore, but yes, I do remember hearing that there was like a big social change on Earth, you know, and I can only imagine how long this discovery led headlines. Humanity not alone, you know, Mars archives show intelligent life, you know.
Right.
And of course, the Protheans weren't there. It was just the ruins, but it was evidence that there was at some point intelligent life in the universe. And at that point, I'm thinking it like as a contemporary citizen of the Mass Effect universe at that time, you don't know that the Protheans were wiped out.
Yeah, you're right. Like if you come across the remains of something intelligent, I guess that one of the initial thoughts is like, are they still here somewhere?
Where are they?
Right. Like, are they still watching us? Are they like, what is going on? The assumption that they would just be non-existent anymore seems like a jump. I don't know. Like, you wouldn't know one way or the other. So I'm sure there was a lot of debate about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I can only imagine how terrifying every next step was, you know, because you didn't know, did we just discover their archives when they weren't home?
It also,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it also confirms that whether you are looking for the race that actually made this or not, it also confirms that if there's one other race out there, then there's probably many. So that also opens up that debate as well. Like, well, even if these people are gone, there might be others. In fact, there probably are. The probability shoots through the roof.
And let alone the impact to religious beliefs that this discovery would have. You know, I think this is even briefly addressed in the lore. I can't remember exactly where.
Yeah. I think we talked about this on one of the really early episodes. Like the idea that, like, for Christians, they would have questions like, okay, well, if Jesus came for humans, then is there a Jesus for these people? Or does our Jesus work for them? Like, how does that work? Like, theologically, there's a lot of questions around that.
Oh, yeah. And you know, some people would adapt. Some people would double down. And we know that some people did double down. We know that the Catholic Church still exists in Mass Effect lore. We actually know that because Cerberus launched an assassination attempt on the Pope.
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So we know that Catholicism at least has survived into the Mass Effect universe. But, you know, some adapted their beliefs. And you remember when I said I was joking about ancient aliens during the Ilos episode, mm-hmm. and how, you know, Elatanya indicated that the Mass Effect writers were kind of leaning into the ancient aliens thing? Well, that's actually canon, it turns out. I was looking at the Protheans entry of the Codex, and it says the presence of a former Prothean observation post on Mars has caused a rebirth of interventionary evolutionists among humans. These individuals believe the god myths of ancient civilizations are misremembered encounters with aliens.
Yeah, yeah. They're all the aliens guy from
exactly
the Discovery Channel or whatever that is, right?
Yeah. Aliens. I can imagine in this universe, he would be like, I fucking told you guys.
I told you.
Yeah, everyone called me crazy.
It doesn't help that his hair just gets bigger and bigger, but
yeah, exactly. No, it does. It does get bigger and bigger. But, you know, that I think would be such a, I think that it's just glossed over in the sake of speeding up the narrative for Mass Effect, mm-hmm. but this would shake humanity's social foundations to their bedrock.
I guess it all just depends on how well they can prove it to the general population. And I mean, you look at something like evolution, some people who hold religious beliefs decided that, okay, they're just going to incorporate this into their beliefs. Evolution is a thing, and maybe God was part of that in some way. Other people, like you said, double down, and they're like, no, evolution is false. You can't show me any amount of evidence that will ever make me believe that evolution is real, right? And now you have Prothean ruins on Mars, where most people on Earth will never be in contact with it. They won't be able to actually go see it themselves. So it's probably very easy for a significant portion of the population to just be like, well, that's not real. And then even once people start traveling using ESO technology beyond the solar system, it's still human beings have this amazing ability to just like plug their ears and just be like, la, 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 la. It's not real. It's not happening. It's all fake news.
It's a defense mechanism for scared people. But and, you know, the state of how we ingest information and whether or not we just automatically declare that something is fake news because it doesn't agree with our already pre-held beliefs, that nature of the social dynamic in the West has changed since the release of Mass Effect 1. And I wonder how that's coloring our perceptions of this lore that was written back then, because there would be, If humanity keeps proceeding and progressing the way that it is right now, unless there's a massive paradigm shift, I can imagine there was a lot of people in the Mass Effect universe who saw this news, they saw the headlines, they saw the alien, you know, archives, and they thought, nope, fake news, part of the liberal agenda.
Oh, probably. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's always going to be a percentage of people who do that. And then there's going to be a percentage of people who go off the deep end the other way. And they start speculating with all sorts of nonsense that it doesn't mean, that it could mean, that it doesn't mean. And then there's going to be people who are just kind of in the middle who are like, seems like this might be a thing. okay.
Yeah. or people who'd be like, you know what? The Alliance knew about these archives for a long time.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Kala here in chat says the Wokies are ruining it. Yeah. All you got to do is say woke once and holy shit, you engage the YouTube trolls. Welcome in, YouTube trolls.
Welcome
I'm
in.
Talking to
comment,
you.
Comment below.
Yeah, please help us with our engagement.
That's the funny anyway. Thing. People don't realize that even when you post mean things, it still helps the video.
It still does, yeah. I mean, it hurts my feelings sometimes, but I've gotten over worse and I've been called worse by better people. So anyway, back to lore. It proved that the archives, as they were exploring them, they realized that this was a biosciences observation post that was built so long ago that humans were still Cro-Magnons, basically, on Earth. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. there, you know, it was like, you know, what would it have been at least 50,000 years ago, since that's when the Protheans were harvested by the Reapers. And the Codex says, while the motives of the Protheans are not certain, translated records indicate that the facility was in regular communication with automated observation platforms in Earth orbit and on the lunar near side. So this is really interesting that basically Apollo 11 could have potentially run into Prothean observation platforms on the near side of the moon, but they didn't.
Huh. Huh. So how did we not discover those? Because it seems much easier to have found something like that on the moon than on Mars.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd wonder how, because I forget how many times Apollo orbited before they finally landed on the moon. But there were other missions that orbited the moon without landing.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And it's not like we don't have very, very clear views of the moon, especially the side that we can see from the Earth today with our telescopes. Like, we can zoom in very, very close from here. So I would imagine even in the future, we'd have even better ways of knowing what's there.
We will have to suspend our disbelief for this portion of the Mass Effect lore, yeah. I think. Yeah. And the Codex entry also says the half dozen, I always think that's a weird word, just say six. The six Mass Effect spaceships found in the facility were presumably used for firsthand observation. Okay, so this is like all but confirming that the ancient aliens people are right.
Right.
At least in the Mass Effect lore, because we have this, we have the Ella Tanya text-based vision, and then we talk with Javik later, who firsthand confirms that the Protheans are indeed, you know, in the business of monitoring other species that they deem to be primitives, so that they could study them, maybe see if they could defeat the Reapers in a future cycle.
Well, you know what they say, you know, don't fear the Reaper.
We need the cowbell. Yeah, we need more cowbell.
We need more cowbell.
So, and it aligns with what Javik was telling us about Protheans' affinity. And, you know, perhaps the Protheans were seeing if the humans were ready to be uplifted the same way that they had implanted that Prothean beacon on Thessia, the Asari homeworld.
I would imagine from the Protheans' perspective, if they came across any form of intelligent life, they probably would have at least monitored it a little bit, like kept an eye on it, probably cataloged it, checked back in every so often. It just makes sense, right? Because that was within their interests.
Oh, yeah. They seem to be incredibly interested in scientific pursuits, among others.
Right, right.
But
so just like us, like when we explore a new part of the Amazon and we come across new creatures, we monitor them. We take them back with us. I'm surprised that, like, are there humans that they took with them in order to do tests on things like that, right? Like, that very well could be a thing. But we do that to creatures in our own environment. And if you consider all of space your environment, because you can travel wherever you want to go, or at least within reason of different Mass Effect jumps and things like that, then you probably would do the same thing.
Are you suggesting that the Protheans may have abducted early humans and then taken them?
Yeah. Or just killed them and then dissected them to just find out how we work.
Wouldn't that be crazy if in one of the next Mass Effects we find human bones on a planet where, like, humans hadn't been for like a long, long time? Mm-hmm. And then you carbon date the bones and you're like, how is this possible?
Right. Like, it's like their zoo and there's people living in their zoo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a great Futurama episode about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm also wondering whether the Protheans left those spaceships behind, you know, the six Mass Effect powered spaceships. I'm wondering if they left those behind deliberately.
On purpose.
I know that they were probably wiped out, right, by the Reapers.
Yeah.
But what if they left them behind deliberately so that humanity could later reverse engineer them once humanity proved they were capable of spaceflight good enough to get to Mars?
That would make sense because you would have to be developed well enough to get there to then be able to understand that technology and how it would be used. So, because if they just left that on Earth somewhere, we could stumble upon it, you know, in the Middle Ages and just, you know, break
Unga bunga.
Break it and not know what it was. But if we were scientifically literate enough, we might come across something like that and go, oh, we understand what this is. Let's back engineer it and use it.
And that would also fit into the Protheans' apparent desire to manipulate evolutionary cycles so that they could break the Reaper's manipulation of the cycles. You know, they did that with Ilos, with interfering with the Keeper's signal. And so they clearly have this desire to kind of undo the manipulation that the Reapers have done. But it's unclear at what point the Protheans were aware of the Reaper's manipulation and if this Mars Archives was built, you know, toward the beginning of the war, toward the end of the war. But what we do know is when we get to Mars in Mass Effect 3, this is also where we find the blueprints for the Crucible, the super weapon that we would use against the Reapers in Mass Effect 3.
It also posits an idea that if they were visiting us 50,000 years ago, if they had planted the seeds of the concept of like agriculture or something like that in our ancestors and tried to uplift us at the time in ways that would have made sense for hunter-gatherer societies to try to progress us in a way.
I knew indoor plumbing was too smart for it to be a human invention. I knew that.
Also plumbing. They invented plumbing.
Indoor plumbing. It's going to be big. So near the beginning of the game in Mass Effect 3, we do visit these Mara's archives, right? And we meet none other than Liara. Now, I was supposed to find a Liara clip to play here, but I didn't.
And but it's still in the show notes. Behind the scenes.
It's still in the show notes as if I found it. I have a placeholder. So I'm looking at that placeholder now and it's mocking me. It's telling you, or it's telling me and you, potentially, that I'm an idiot and I forgot to put a link there. So
it's all right because I'm an idiot too, because we got to chatting and there's a video clip up here and I have it pulled up, but I didn't prepare it on the screen. So who knows if it's going to be off center when we play it? We'll find out.
It's a fun gamble. Yeah. Anyway, we can fix things in post-production. But anyway, in that clip, you know, Liara is talking about the blueprint of the Crucible. And she's talking about how important it is and how it looks like, you know, the Protheans left this for us. And that any shot against the Reapers is better than no shot. So this sets the entire narrative for Mass Effect 3, right? Once again, Mars having an incredibly powerful narrative shaping impact on all of Mass Effect, the original trilogy.
Yeah, Mars, the source of everything.
And you know, it comes up later in Mass Effect 3 too, Mars does, if you take Javik with you to the Asari homeworld of Thessia, where they have hidden this Prothean beacon, when you find that Prothean beacon and you find out the Asari government has kept it a secret for so long, Shepard can mention that everybody gets help. You know, everybody gets help. It's fine, Liara. Everybody gets help. We had this Prothean discovery, this big Prothean discovery on Mars. And that's the only reason really why humans are even there at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the Oprah. He's the intergalactic Oprah.
Get a Prothean beacon. You get a Prothean beacon. Okay, we'll eat your liver.
Intergalactic doesn't make sense. That's multiple galaxies. He's the interplanetary. There you go, Oprah.
I was just singing, you know, the Beastie Boys in my head. But yeah. Intergalactic. Anyway, you know how it goes.
Yes.
If Javik is with you, he chimes in right after Shepard mentions Mars, and here's what he says.
Even a small amount of data would give your species an edge. Or are you insulted that your government didn't involve you?
The Mars ruins are where humanity got Mass Effect technology.
And we learned of it from the ruins of the Inusanum, the race that came before us. It was our secret for centuries.
Well, if it is true, the Asari should have shared this knowledge. We might not have been in this mess if they had.
You don't know that, Shepard. We don't know what's going on here.
They held onto it for centuries.
Yeah. There's such gravitas in Mass Effect 3, especially by that point. And, you know, I find it very interesting that the key to humanity advancing enough to meet the other Milky Way races, which ultimately led to the First Contact War, mm-hmm. is also the place that enables the Milky Way to defeat the Reapers, Mars.
Well, it's a fun narrative device, right? It's like a bookend thing, right? Starts here and it ends here.
And on top of that, the place is named after the Roman god of war.
Yeah, well, I was going to bring this up earlier, the fact that Mars was the planet of war. Yeah, it wraps up very nicely. Like, it's a good, like, it's almost like the writers knew what they were doing.
Imagine that. Not questioning the incredibly specific knowledge of a skill set of people who you don't know what's going on inside their office.
That feels like a pointed comment towards the same people who might be commenting right now about how terrible this video is.
Yeah, there's a lot of people on the internet who think they know better than they do. We'll just put it like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I, for one, am just like, I when I approach these things, I try to enjoy like all of the genius that they put into it. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, I couldn't make something like this.
Yeah, you know? It's the thing about game design and story writing and things like that. It's very easy to find one thing to do, or even content creation. Oh, that one thing you said was wrong. And it's like you throw out the whole thing. And it's way more complex than that. Like, if you actually work at a game studio and you actually write something like this. In fact, it's one of the reasons why we don't have another Mass Effect yet, is because the undertaking is huge. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of investment. And the studio has to be prepared for it. The publisher has to say, okay, we're willing to do this. We feel like we have the right team. We have the right writers. We have the right coders. All of that has to be in place to make something of this quality. And sure, there might be little errors here and there, but that undertaking is huge.
Oh, massive. And also, once you have that many people, you have to get them all on the same page so that the product is cohesive.
Right.
And talking about cohesive, I mean, wow, like the very beginning of Mass Effect, think about the very first scene of the very first game. Uh-huh. And it has that text that comes up that kind of reminds me of Star Wars, right?
Right.
And it even mentions humanity's discovery on Mars from the very beginning, the very get-go. And then ultimately in Mass Effect 3, that's where we come back to. And it's because of those Prothean archives on Mars that humanity meets the other Milky Way species. It's because of the fact that they were able to meet the other Milky Way species that Liara eventually is working with Shepard on Mars in Mass Effect 3. And then they find the plans for the Crucible and ultimately team up together to build it. And it's because of Mars once again that the Reapers are defeated. So it's just incredible storytelling, and it's so easy to overlook how important Mars is as a location in Mass Effect.
Thanks, Mars. Thanks, Protheans. Good job. Thumbs up.
You did it.
You did it.
We Mass Effected.
You did it. Good work. Oh, man. Cool stuff. Sam, this has been super fun. Chat, thank you for being here. I hope you enjoyed this episode on Mars. And Sam, you have anything else you want to share before we head out?
Yeah, I'm streaming my personal canon playthrough. I'm pretty sure my next stream is going to be the suicide mission of Mass Effect 2.
Ooh.
So that's going to be out of the way. Then we're moving on to Mass Effect 3. So we'll be on Mars very soon. And I'm also streaming Fallout, you know, trying to do midweek streams. This past week was a little rough with work, but I have been enjoying streaming Fallout a lot. So if you want to catch any of my streams, come over to N7 The Legend on Twitch. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm pretty good about putting out notifications that way. And I haven't forgotten the hint that I dropped last week. We are still working on bringing on a special guest, but scheduling is a thing.
Yeah, we were hoping for this week. It was originally planned for this week, but scheduling's a thing. Don't worry, it's still coming. It's still coming, we promise. Also, go check out Sam's stuff. Go check out the rest of my stuff. If you are playing Fallout like Sam is, and you want to know more about the lore, I do the Fallout Lorecast, and it has exploded. And there are a lot of new people finding the show because of the TV show, which is now rated as the number one Amazon show ever. Ever. The numbers are
craziness.
Ridiculous. Yeah, it's insane. So that's a lot of fun. There's lots of shows at robotsradio.net by me and other creators. Lots of great stuff. So if you're looking for more things to listen to, we've got you covered. Thanks for being here, everybody. We'll be back hopefully next week, maybe early. I've got like crazy end of the week stuff with like my wife's sister's getting married. So congratulations to her. So we're going to be helping with the wedding and prep for the wedding and all that stuff. But we'll see if we can figure out a time to get together next week, and we'll be back and we'll see you then. Stay safe out there. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.